apart from God's word. And what we'll do now, just briefly, we'll look at a few chapters previously to chapter 22 and see God's covenant with Abraham. And look at chapter 12. We'll just flick through a few chapters and look at just a few verses. And here we see what the Lord is tempting Abraham with in verse 1 of chapter 12. He's testing him with, I should say. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And we know that this verse 3 is, the extent of it is beyond just Abraham, and it means the Jewish people themselves. We must bless the Jewish people. And that's what the work of the society does, by giving them God's word. But here we see God's unconditional promise to Abraham, that he will bless him and make him a mighty nation. And go to chapter 15 now. Look at chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And that's the basis of it. Whether we believe what the Lord has said in his word, we believe in the Lord for salvation and believe his holy, true, and living word. He knew that God would unconditionally make of him a wonderful and great nation. But he said, he doubted and said, my only heir is this one of Eliezer born in his house. But the Lord said, no, of thine own bowels, of thine own self, your heir will come. You will have a son. You will beget a son. And look at, and of course he believed the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Turn over to chapter 17 now. We look at a few verses in chapter 17. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. And the next couple of verses talk about how his name was changed by the Lord from Abram to Abraham. But look at verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come of her, shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So here, again, is the promise of his coming seed, the heir, which would be the father of this great nation. Abraham, it said, he laughed. It said then, fell upon his face, verse 17, and laughed. This is not a laugh of unbelief. He didn't say, ha, 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 you must be joking. So often people say that's what it said, but it's not. That's a laugh of joy, the laugh of joy, because Abraham already believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He didn't doubt him. He didn't laugh, saying, "Oh, I'm 99 years old. Shall I have a son at 99 years old and Sarah, who's 90? It was almost a statement. It's not a question. It's out of joy he's laughing, because it's a confirmation of the fact that God will do what he has promised. Do we believe that the promises which God has given us, all the promises in Scripture which are relevant to us today, most of the Scripture of promises in the Old Testament, many of them have to do with Israel, his earthly people, but there are promises in Scripture which bear true to us as well, but do we believe them? And at the last part of that verse 19 which I read, it said that his name shall be called Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him. So here is Abraham believing God would provide an heir for him. He would provide the heir, and he would make him a father of a great, a mighty nation, God's nation, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. So this is the background up to chapter 22. And he laughs in faith, as I said, and he believes him. In fact, God names his specific son, his only son that he shall have. He specifically names him as Isaac. And if you go back to chapter 22 now, we see here, here is the testing of Abraham in verse 2. And he said, God said to him, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest." Abraham only ever had, at this point, he only ever had one son. Ishmael was not Abraham's son. You realize that, don't you? Ishmael was Abraham's son. You go back to verse, the end of chapter 16, and there's Ishmael, and then in chapter 17, God changes Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham. So he's a new creation. He is a new creature, as it were. And that prefigures salvation. And God himself says here in verse 2, thy only son. Abraham had his only son, Isaac. He was his only son. Ishmael was not Abraham's son. He was Abram's son. We know he was one and the same person, Abram, but he was made new. And God changed his name because he made that new covenant with him. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means a father of many nations. Perhaps he had to be brought down from that exalted position, and he believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. But here now is that test. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. And here is the first mention of love in the Bible. Thine only son, whom thou lovest. And here is an obvious prefigurement or an echo of our Heavenly Father saying, this is my son, my beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, the Lord says to him, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So here is the testing of Abraham. That testing. Get thee into the land of Moriah. It's interesting. We read the couple of verses just before this, in verse 33 of chapter 21. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. You see, Abraham becomes Abram. It says, well, let's look at verse 1 of 17, chapter 17 again. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. So he appeared to him as El Shaddai. He is the mighty one who was able to make of him a great nation, even though he was 99 years old. So that wonderful part of God's name, El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the one who is all-powerful, was able to do this wonderful thing for Abraham. And he promised him that he would give him that son. But now, one verse before he was to tell Abraham, go into the land Moriah and sacrifice thy son, Abraham, we read in verse 33 of chapter 21, and Abraham there called on there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And this name is in Hebrew, El Olam, which is God forever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today forever. He appeared to Abraham as El Olam, the everlasting God. And the Lord is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And he was about to tell him to sacrifice his son. Yet he said his son would be his heir. But he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so he doesn't change. And so he will provide. He will be able to cause Isaac still to be his heir. Do you see what I'm saying? He doesn't change. His promises that Isaac will be his heir still are true. He called upon the name of the Lord, Jehovah, El Olam, the everlasting God, God forever, it literally means there. It's an amazing thing. And now he was testing him. Sacrifice thine only son and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of in verse 2. And here we see Abraham's obedience. First of all, his testing and now his obedience. And look at his obedience. Look how immediate it is. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. When the Lord calls us to do something which might terrify us, which might make us think that we are unable, which might, on the face of it, sadden us or grieve us greatly, do we rise up early in the morning and obey? Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. And notice, each part of this verse starts with the word and. In the Hebrew, that's vav, which is va Avraham, and rose up. I'm not going to go into the Hebrew now. I'm not fluent in Hebrew, obviously. But I'm going to use a word here. I'm not trying to be clever, but it's interesting and it's important for us to understand. This is a figure of speech called a polysyndeton. And the reason I'm saying this that is not to sound clever, but it's to emphasize the great faith of Abraham. When each part of the verse starts with the word and, it's that next part, and you're to weigh each deliberate act in faith of Abraham. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son who he was to sacrifice, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he got up to do it and went unto the place which God had told him of. Weigh in your heart each very deliberate act that Abraham, without wavering, without doubt, went to do. You see, this isn't just a passage which is separated from all of Scripture, and it's just a passage about how Abraham hoped that he didn't have to sacrifice his son. Abraham, in faith, believed that through his son Isaac would come that nation of Israel, that great nation, as the stars of heaven. And by it's just about God's faithfulness, that he would provide this and carry through with this promise that he had promised him. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Just think about each deliberate act of Abraham there. And verse 4, this is where, this is how we see Abraham gets his direction. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And that's what we should do, lift up our eyes to the Lord. We know that the world is a very dark place, and we get no direction or help in any way whatsoever from the world. I'm very happy that I don't have a television. And, because if I had a television, it would make me depressed, I'm sure, because it's nothing but, rubbish on it. But we don't get our direction from the world or what we see on television or the news. But lift up your eyes and believe in what the Lord has said. And verse 5, here is the proof of Abraham's faith, his obedience. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. The resurrection and second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will come again to you. And our Lord said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself. But where I am, there you may be also. And here we see this figure of speech, which is called a polysyndeton, happening again in verse 6. It's there in the Hebrew, specifically written by the Lord, by inspiration, that we should ponder each part of it. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. And in verse 33 of chapter 21, we read that Abraham dwelt in Beersheba and planted a grove of trees there. And that's quite probably where he got the wood for this burnt offering from. Perhaps the Lord spoke to him to plant a grove of trees there. And sometimes we don't know. We spend a lot of time growing up with something or someone in our life. And perhaps that person has to do something, give themselves to the Lord or do something for the Lord. And that thing or that person with us all our life, we perhaps have to give up for the Lord, or we have to use in a way which the Lord, which we never thought of, that we could use these things for the Lord. I'm not making myself very clear here. But the point is, he planted the trees, he watched them grow, and perhaps that's why he had to wait. He waited for so long. The Lord waited for so long that Isaac was a young lad, maybe in his late teens at this time, for the trees to grow. But doubtless that's where the wood came from. And now he had to cut these trees down, which the Lord had him plant, and use them for the altar, for the burnt offering. In verse 6 again, and Abraham took wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And of course we know that's a picture of our Lord carrying his cross. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. But they went both of them together. There's a picture of the Father and the Son, the Heavenly Father and the Son together also. And we know this is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is that lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. They went on, the Heavenly Father and the Son, again, a picture of them. They went on together and did what they were purposed to do. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Abraham didn't know how God would provide, but he knew that he would. Do we believe? Don't forget now, this is not about Abraham losing his only son. It's about the promises and the vindication of God's holy name, that he would carry out and do what he has promised that he would do by providing that heir, and he would make of him. He even named him in chapter 17, verse 19. Isaac. Isaac was the very one who he would make a great nation of. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham knew God would provide a lamb, but he didn't know how. As I said, maybe I've heard somebody say this once, that as Abraham was climbing up the mountain, the ram was climbing up the other side to meet Abraham at the point of his need, even though he didn't see him because the mountain was in the way. But he went by faith. And he went prepared to kill his son. He was going to kill his son. He was not going to possibly not kill his son. He was going to kill his son, to slay him, because God had told him to. And here's the provision. Let's read on. We've read verse 8. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And here's this figure of speech again. And they came, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order. Think about him doing this, each deliberate act of faith. And bound Isaac, his son. Maybe Isaac was the best part of 20 years old. He could have freely got away from his elderly father, but he gave his life, as it were, as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he bound his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, that deliberate act. In faith, he stretched forth his hand and took the knife. It doesn't just finish there. He took the knife to slay his son. He was going to do it. He wasn't going to waver. He wasn't wavering. He was going to do it by faith and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, Jehovah, Yahovah, the first time in this narrative that the Lord is used. It's always been God up until then. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Up until then it was God, the Creator God. But now, because Abraham believed the Lord, believed his promises, believed in his covenant, that the God of the covenant, Yahovah, appeared. The name Lord in all capitals there. Here am I, he said. The Lord always knew that Abraham would obey, but he wanted Abraham to have that faith in him and to believe in the Lord and to trust him. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. He was blessed through faith. He was blessed through faith. And there's a commentary on this in the New Testament. In the third chapter of Galatians, it says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. When God preached the gospel before to Abraham, they which be of faith. So Abraham believed God, he had faith, and he was blessed. And we were blessed also because he was, in that manner of speaking, the father of faith. So that's the Lord's provision. And what is the conclusion of all this? Well, the blessing is the conclusion. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. It was caught by his horns. Why is this detail in Scripture? Apparently, no ram or sheep or anything like that is ever caught by his horns. I'm not a farmer, but what I've heard by somebody else preaching was this, that somebody came up to them after a meeting and said, do you realize I've been a farmer all my life and never once has a lamb, a ram or anything been caught by its horns? It doesn't happen. What happens is, like, when they get caught in the barbed wire, they get caught around their sides, around their middle, around their legs, and they struggle and they struggle and they strive to get free, and the energy they use, if they're not found, is there. They struggle until they die as the barbed wire cuts and shreds into their flesh, and they're in a terrible state and they get diseased and they die. The thorns that were there caught the ram by his horns. You see, it was a perfect sacrifice, a perfect lamb without blemish and without spot. God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And he provides the best. When we believe in him, believe him, believe his promises, and by faith do his will, get on with the work that he has called us to do, he provides the very best for us. The lamb without blemish and without spot. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh Yireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh doesn't mean the Lord will provide. It means the Lord sees. It means the Lord sees. That's what it is in Hebrew. The Lord sees the need and therefore will provide. He already sees your need before you even come to him in prayer and ask him. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He sees the need and he will provide. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. And that's a Hebraism as well. Blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. It's the highest possible sense of blessing and in multiplying, because he believed in God and he counted it to him for righteousness. And I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Even us as a nation, as well as the Jewish people, have been blessed, all the nations of the world, because Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. You see, the Lord is coming again. Just as Abraham said to his young men, I and the lad will come again. The Lord is coming again. The time is drawing nigh. Will he find us faithful? Will he find us loving him? Will he find us serving him? And do we believe his promises, all the promises that God has for us in Scripture? At most, we must believe him for eternal salvation and trust him, because there is no salvation outside of Christ and outside of what his word says. But do we believe that he will provide for us? You know, if he can save a sinful wretch like you, like I, then our earthly provisions are as nothing. He can provide them so easily. Maybe we don't have what we pray for because we don't believe that he will provide. The Bible says we can also ask amiss, because we want to consume things upon our own lusts. But the Lord will provide, and the moment we start believing that, we will be blessed when we have faith. Just like faithful Abraham, whatever it is, our earthly needs, or perhaps the salvation of our family members, the Lord will bless. Do we believe God's promises this morning? Will we be willing to carry through such an act of faith which Abraham did? Abraham knew that his son Isaac would be that father of a wonderful multitude of people as the sand by the seashore. And he brought him out under the stars and to see how many his nation would become. What a wonderful Saviour we have. What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus, our Lord. Let's believe him this morning and be a blessing back to the Lord by just trusting him and telling others of him and doing his will for our lives. And if you don't know the Lord as your Saviour this morning, that's the first step. Believe in him. Repent of your sins and trust him. And step out in faith. Step out in faith. Because the Lord knows you better than you know you. And he will keep you and bless you abundantly. You know, there are many things which Catherine and I are praying for, that the Lord will provide specific things, great things, out of our reach, out of our capability. But we're not worried, because the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac. And Isaac lived to have that son as well, Jacob, and so forth and so on. And we Gentiles are so privileged to worship the Jewish people's God, Lord and God too. And I pray that these few scattered thoughts would be a blessing to your heart this morning. Thank you. Okay.
You know, that account of Abraham offering up his son to a lost world can be quite appalling. Why would God require somebody to do that That sounds like a horrific thing to do. But it's a picture of what God did with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he says Jehovah Jireh in the mount, it will be seen on that mountain. It was seen. Because God did provide himself a lamb that John the Baptist said would take away the sins of the world. As horrific as it was for Abraham to offer up his own son, God, a few thousand years later, offered the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world, that whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. I wonder if you were here this morning, if you have yet to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never made that decision, then that is something that you need to do before it's too late. Geraint mentioned that we live in a dark and wicked world. And we do. The world is getting wickeder and wickeder, and will continue to do so until the Lord returns. But if you were here and you've yet to trust Christ your Savior, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I wonder if you were to leave here, if you were to die tonight, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know that if you were to die tonight, you would wake up in the presence of the Lord? If you don't, you can put that right today. As Geraint said, repent of your sins. Admit that you're a sinner. Repent of your sins. Confess them to God. Believe that Christ died upon the cross for your sins. And call upon his name as the only means of salvation. If you do know him as your Savior, are you obedient? What if Abraham had turned around and said, "No, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that"? We wouldn't have that account. We wouldn't have that perfect picture of the Lord's salvation recorded in the scripture. Our obedience might affect the salvation of somebody else. We've been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God requires us to be obedient in doing that. And I pray that we would be obedient believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Appreciate the message, appreciate the messenger, and I just pray that we would just apply God's word to our hearts and our lives as we head out into a lost and dying world to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with us in this week ahead. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together, 526, "Loved with an Everlasting Love," and we'll stand as we sing. Amen. I wonder if Neil will close us in a word of prayer. Thank you, Neil.